Blog Talk Radio.
And praise the Lord, everybody. This is Apostle Dr. Deborah Dean with the End Time Men and Women of War Global Ministries, along with the Life Support Outreach Church and our prayer room ministry. So delighted tonight to be back on our live broadcast for our study in the Word of God on tonight. We're going to get ready to have just a short devotion. Then we're going to have and let Alexander Scroby read the chapters for us on tonight. We're not going to read. We're going to have Alexander Scroby to read tonight for the Bible class. And you'll enjoy it as I do sometimes. But I'm getting ready to read a scripture. We're going to have a scripture, a song, and a prayer on tonight. And then we're going to let Alexander Scroby read on tonight. The scripture reading will be coming from Psalms 25. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without a cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy path. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his ways. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his commandments and his testimonies. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquities, for it is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall not dwell at ease, and his seed shall not inherit the earth. I have just read you the first 13 verses of Psalm 25. May God richly add a blessing to the doers of his most holy word. Just gonna play a little. Where you at?
You thought I was worth saving. You came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping. So you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for. You sacrificed your life so I could be free, so I could be whole, so I can tell everyone to know. You came. You cleaned me up. You thought I was. You sacrificed. I could be free. I could be whole. I could tell everyone. You thought. You came. You cleaned me up in. You thought I was to die for. In the body
place,
Lord.
Yeah.
I can tell everyone. You thought I was to die for.
In the name of Jesus, we come humbly before your throne of grace on tonight, asking you to forgive us for every known and unknown sin, Father, that we've committed against you, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I just come tonight just confessing and repenting, asking for forgiveness and cleansing through the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, I just thank you for this opportunity tonight, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, just to study your word, God, in unity, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I just thank you right now for this opportunity, Father, because when your word is present, it is present to heal, deliver, and set free in the name of Jesus. Father, I give you praise tonight, and I give you glory. I magnify your name on tonight. I thank you right now, God. I bless your holy name tonight. I ask you to let Deborah decrease, that the Holy Ghost may increase and teach us tonight, God. Holy Spirit, I ask you to teach us. I ask you right now to just open up our minds and our understanding on tonight, that we may understand your word, God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, search our hearts, our minds, and our spirit. If there is anything in there, God, that's not like you, remove it right now, God. In the name of Jesus, I'm asking you right now to cover everyone under the sound of my voice right now, Lord. Cover them, everyone that will listen to this radio broadcast. In the name of Jesus, Lord, just bless us, Holy Spirit, with your word. Father, I thank you, I praise you, and I ask all these things, and I bind up the enemy. I just bind the enemy up from this radio broadcast and from our lives in the name of Jesus. Every witch, every wizard, every warlord, every psychic, every medium, every demon on assignment. Your assignment is canceled from this radio broadcast and from our lives. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. And praise the Lord, everybody. We're going to get ready. I'm going to have Alexander Scroby to read for us tonight. At least I know one chapter. And let's get going like that. I always enjoy hearing him read.
And the Ark of the Lord was in the country of the Philistines 7 months. And the Philistines called for the priests and the diviners, saying, "What shall we do to the Ark of the Lord? Tell us wherewith we shall send it to his place." And they said, "If ye send away the Ark of the God of Israel, send it not empty, but in any wise return him a trespass offering. Then ye shall be healed, and it shall be known to you why his hand is not removed from you." Then said they, "What shall be the trespass offering which we shall return to him?" They answered, 5 golden emeralds and 5 golden mice, according to the number of the lords of the Philistines. For one plague was on you all and on your lords. Wherefore ye shall make images of your emeralds and images of your mice that mar the land, and ye shall give glory unto the God of Israel. Peradventure he will lighten his hand from off you and from off your gods and from off your land. Wherefore then do ye harden your hearts, as the Egyptians and Pharaoh hardened their hearts. When he had wrought wonderfully among them, did they not let the people go, and they departed? Now therefore make a new cart, and take 2 mulch kine, on which there hath come no yoke, and tie the kine to the cart, and bring their calves home from them. And take the ark of the Lord, and lay it upon the cart, and put the jewels of gold, which ye return him for a trespass offering, in a coffer by the side thereof, and send it away, that it may go. And see, if it goeth up by the way of his own coast to Beth Shemesh, then he hath done us this great evil. But if not, then we shall know that it is not his hand that smote us. It was a chance that happened to us. And the men did so, and took 2 milch kine, and tied them to the cart, and shut up their calves at home. And they laid the ark of the Lord upon the cart, and the coffer with the mice of gold, and the images of their emeralds. And the kine took the straight way to the way of Beth Shemesh, and went along the highway, lowing as they went, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. And the lords of the Philistines went after them unto the border of Beth Shemesh. And they of Beth Shemesh were reaping their wheat harvest in the valley. And they lifted up their eyes and saw the ark, and rejoiced to see it. And the cart came into the field of Joshua, a Beshemite, and stood there, where there was a great stone. And they clave the wood of the cart, and offered the kine a burnt offering unto the Lord. And the Levites took down the ark of the Lord, and the coffer that was with it, wherein the jewels of gold were, and put them on the great stone. And the men of Beth Shemesh offered burnt offerings, and sacrificed sacrifices, the same day unto the Lord. And when the 5 lords of the Philistines had seen it, they returned to Ekron the same day. And these are the golden emeralds which the Philistines returned for a trespass offering unto the Lord, for Ashdod 1, for Gaza 1, for Ashkelon 1, for Gath 1, for Ekron 1. And the golden mice, according to the number of all the cities of the Philistines belonging to the 5 lords, both of fenced cities and of country villages, even unto the great stone of Abel, whereon they set down the ark of the Lord, which stone remaineth unto this day in the field of Joshua the Beshemite. And he smote the men of Beth Shemesh, because they had looked into the ark of the Lord, even he smote of the people 50,000 and 70 men. And the people lamented, because the Lord had smitten many of the people with a great slaughter. And the men of Beth Shemesh said, "Who is able to stand before this holy Lord God, and to whom shall he go up from us?" And they sent messengers to the inhabitants of Kirjath-Jearim, saying, "The Philistines have brought again the ark of the Lord. Come ye down and fetch it up to you."
You need help.
Okay. Okay, where are we? I can't do these machines because they mess up too bad for me. Can't do it. Okay, I'm going to start with verse 13. And they of Beth Shemesh were reaping their wheat harvest in the valley, and they lifted up their eyes and saw the ark and rejoiced to see it. And the cart came into the field of Joshua, a Beth Shemite, and stood there where there was a great stone, and they clave the wood of the cart and offered the kine a burnt offering unto the Lord.
Apostle, it's finished reading. It's on chapter 7.
Okay, I'll do chapter 7. And the men of Kirjath-Jearim came and fetched up the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Amminadab and Abinadab in the hill and sanctified Eleazar, his son, to keep the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, while the ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim, whatever that is, that the time was long, for it was 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if ye do return unto the Lord with all your heart, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your heart unto the Lord and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth and serve the Lord only. And Samuel said, gather all Israel Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. And they gathered together to Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said there, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel and Mizpah. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard that, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hands of the Philistines. And Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering wholly unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came under the Bethcar. And Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shin and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, hitherto have the Lord helped us. So the Philistines were subdued, and they came no more unto the coast of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. And the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel from Ekron even unto Gath. And the coast thereof did Israel deliver out of the hand of the Philistines. And there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. And Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. And he went from year to year in circuit to Bethlehem and Gilgal, Mizpah, and judged Israel in all those places. And his return was to Ramah, for there was his house, and there he judged Israel, and there he built an altar unto the Lord. Amen, amen. Thank you, Prophetess Martin, for that, because I didn't know. I was trying to let Alexander Scroby read. That was not Alexander Scroby. I was trying to find it on something else. But it's all right. I don't mind reading. I just want the word of God to go forth with power. Don't want no distractions. I just want it done. So that's why I went on and read. But this is good. This is good. Let's get to the questions, y'all. Wait a minute. I got to get them myself. Amen. Chapter 6. What did the Philistines decide to do with the Ark of God? What they decide to do with it? I think they took it back, didn't they? They wanted to
back to Israel.
Mhm. They wanted to remove the ark from the presence with a test to see if the God of Israel had been the one against them. So they were trying to give God a test. They were trying to test him to see was he the one against them. Because, you know, they think they could have whooped God too, bigger, better, or better, or something. Mm-hmm. How would the Philistines know that it was God who had been against them? How would they know that?
Did they know when God put the plagues up on the Philistine Lord?
They had sent the ark on a cart, pulling by two cows. Now they sending the animals in, which had never been yoked. If the cart was pulled by the cows toward Beth Shemesh, they would know God was the one against them. But if it went any other way, they would say it had been by chance that all these things had happened to them. See, they was trying to test God, and God knew it already. So they're going to send a cart in. They're going to put them on a cart and send it in, send some animals in to do what they should have been doing. Let's see what trying to get the verse right quick. And I can't see nothing in this dining room. Let me cut this light on, y'all. Okay. That's why I was stumbling reading. Okay.
It's verse 30.
Is it? Okay. You can read it.
Okay.
You can read it. Okay.
Okay. Now, therefore, make a new cart and take two milch kine on which there had come no yoke and tie the kine to the cart and bring their calves home from them and take the ark of the Lord and lay it upon the cart and put the jewels of God of gold which ye return him from a trespass offering in the coffer thigh. Therefore, and send it away that it may go, and see if it goeth up by the way of his own coast to Beth Shemesh, then he hath done us this great evil. But if not, then we shall know that it is not his hand that smote us. It was a chance that happened to us. Keep going. And the men did so. Okay.
All right. That was good. That was good right there. But we're going to get through with the questions, and then we're going to talk about it. Where did the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord end up? Where did it end up at? I think they took the ark back to Beth Shemesh. I don't know. That's what I think. Let me just look in here and see right quick, because I'm not paying as much attention. When you read it, you yourself, you get more out of it than when somebody else read it, or you know they're saying. Beth Shemesh, I think it was the kind took the straight way to the way of Beth Shemesh and went along the highway, knowing as they went and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left, and the lords of the Philistines went after them unto the border of Beth Shemesh. And they of Beth Shemesh were reaping their wheat harvest in the valley, and they lifted up their eyes and saw the ark and rejoiced to see it. So, yeah, it went there. It went straight on to Beth Shemesh. Okay. What's the next question? Why did the Lord slaughter the people at Beth Shemesh? Why did the Lord slaughter them? Oh. I'm going to read it down for y'all. Y'all know it's one thing about the Ark of the Covenant. You can't touch it. You can't touch it. Not a little bit. And the court came into the field of Joshua at Beth Shemesh, and stood there where there was a great stone, and they where there was a great stone, and they clayed the wood of the court and offered the Cain a burnt offering unto the Lord. And the Levites took down the ark of the Lord and the coffer that was with it, wherein the jewels of the gold were, and put them on the great stone. And the men of Beth Shemesh offered burnt offerings and sacrifices that same day unto the Lord. And when the five lords of the Philistine had seen it, they returned to Akron the same day. I don't guess I passed it. And as these are the golden emeralds, with the Philistines returned from a trespass offering unto the Lord for Ashdod, one of the Gazan, for Ashkelon, one for Gath, and one for Akron, one. And the golden mice, according to the number of all the cities of the Philistines, belonging to the five lords, both of fenced cities and countries, valleys, villages, even unto the great one, stone of Abel, whereon they set down the ark of the Lord, which stone remaineth unto this day in the field of Joshua the Beth Shemite. And he smote the men of Beth Shemite, because they had looked into the ark of the Lord. Even he smote it of the people 50,000 and 70 men. And the people lamented, because the Lord had smitten many of the people with a great slaughter. And the men of Beth Shemesh said, who is able to stand before his holy Lord, before this holy Lord God? And to whom shall he go up from us? And they sent messengers to the inhabitants of Kirjath-Jearim, saying, the Philistines have brought again the ark of the Lord. Come ye down and fetch it up to you. So he killed all them, because you can't, you know, one of those Ethiopian men, the ark or somebody, I forgot who it was right offhand, but the ark was trying to fall or tilt over, and they caught it, and they died instantly. It's something you cannot mess with it. You can't touch them, because that's where God dwells. That's where he dwells, on the mercy seat, on the ark, between the two cherubims. That's where the Lord, that's where they was meeting God at. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that was something. I don't care if you wasn't a Levite, if you wasn't a priest, you better not get around that ark. You're going to die. You're going to die. Mm-hmm. Where did the men of Beth Shemesh move the ark of the Lord? What if they moved it to Kirjath-Jearim? They moved it there. Yeah, y'all know I can't talk country. But I just love this book of Samuel because all the stuff you hear the preachers and stuff preaching about and talking about, when you study, you can go right on in it. You know, you can remember what some of the stuff they were saying, and it'll bring you right on up to date. But you got to really know what some of the things. If you learn one thing from these chapters, if you learn one thing, you have did something. And just always remember, in these chapters, you cannot touch, you can't fool with the ark of the ark. That's where the mercy seat is sitting. And that's where God meet and talk to the priest. You can't do that because you will die. You will die. He slaughtered all them men. He wasn't against them men because they looked into the ark. You can't even touch it. You're not even supposed to touch the Ark of the Covenant, period. And here they didn't went and looked in it. Ooh, honey. Mm-mm. Not me. So we're going to go move on to 7, and then we're going to discuss everything. How did God defeat the Philistines at Mizpah? How did he defeat them?
Verse 10, where he made very discomforted, he, is that when he made a loud thunder?
Yeah.
And then he smitten all those before Israel?
Mm-hmm. And confused them. When he hit that loud thunder, they was confused and scared. Believe that. What did Samuel call the memorial he set up with God for his help against the Philistines? What did he do? He set up a memorial. What was the name of it?
Was it Ebenezer?
Yep. And it means...
Ebenezer.
It means,
Lord help us.
Yeah. Have the Lord help us. That's what it means. It was a memorial because when God does things like that, when he comes to your rescue, and I'm just not talking about then, I'm talking about even now, when God is right there for you, he's more than the world against you. Believe me, and the things that God do for us, man can't do them. He can't do them without God. I'm not going to say he can't do them, but he can't do them without God. So in this, you know, we have to give God praise. And back then, they would set up altars and stones and memorials when God did something like that. I'm telling you, because it was such a great thing, you know, because he knew they couldn't whoop the Philistines no kind of way except for with God. And the Philistines knew that. You know, that's the tribe that Goliath come out of, the Philistines, way on back down in Genesis, came out of the Philistines. And so they was always big and bad and trying to scare somebody. And they had it going on because they could fight. They trained their men really well how to fight. And see, with Israel, they didn't always have to be trained because they had God. But it's good to be trained. But when you got God, you don't need all of it. Mhm. So do we? That's all the questions, y'all. I be hating this these little simple questions. Ain't nothing. I be wanting to dig down any, but it's okay. We're still gonna discuss and what we can. So does anybody have any questions or comments?
I have a question, Apostle.
Mm-hmm.
So if when they were trying to move the ark, it seemed like they moved the ark more than once, and seeing that they weren't supposed to be trying to go inside of it to see what, I guess they were looking for the tablet or something, but why, if they couldn't touch it, how did they move it?
They had long, see, they got, have you ever seen the ark?
I've seen the picture.
I'm going to have to show y'all. Well, it's got long rods on it. And so the rods were so long, it kept them back from the ark a certain distance. They could carry it, but they had to carry it with them rods, by them rods. And I don't know what happened the day that that one of them, anyway, the ark almost fell, and one of them priests touched it and caught it. He died instantly. You cannot touch the ark of the covenant. God killed them right then because you can't touch God. I'm telling you, not like that. Mm-hmm.
And the back?
Mm-hmm. Huh?
Okay. Were rods?
What'd you say?
Long rods. I was asking, were the rods, the long rods, in the front and the back?
Yeah, because you know it's about 12 feet long. You know they were very long, and the ark was sitting on them in the middle of it. God was mm-hmm. sitting right there, and so the man was up front, two men. I think it was two men on each side. They had to carry that thing wherever it went. But see, when they got to fighting, they had set the ark down. They called themselves putting the ark of the covenant where they was at war at, so the Lord could help them. Brought the Lord right on out there. Mm-hmm. And the Philistine got a chance to take it. They got a chance to steal it. They stole it. Mm-hmm. They knew the ark belonged to the Lord of to God. They knew that, but they stole the ark. But they couldn't steal God. You see what I'm saying? They stole that ark, but they couldn't steal God. And God caused some trouble, I'm telling you. And when he finished causing them trouble, they wanted to send him back. That ark back. But they didn't know. They didn't know, they needed to know the proper way, because they didn't hear the men falling dead. If they touched it, they wanted to know how. They weren't worried about that when they stole it. But they found out some stuff after they stole it. You know how you do a thing and you get away with it. You think you got away with it one way, and then you scared to take it or go back on it because you don't know what might happen. That thing, I'm telling you, you cannot. We learn over in Genesis that God sits on the Ark of the Covenant between the cherubim. And them priests, some of them priests, that's why they have a rope. When they go in there behind the veil, some of them be so endowed with the Spirit of God that they had to pull them out. And sometimes if you got any sin on you, you dead. When you go in there with sin on you, you dead. They pull you right on out of there, dead and all. Because you can't go before. That's why I keep telling people, you cannot go before God any kind of way. You better repent. I don't care if y'all hear me say repent it. Every time I'm praying, I'm going to repent, because you'll be up there praying for nothing, because your prayers ain't going nowhere if you got sin all over you before God. He ain't looking at that stuff. He done turned his nose because it's like stench to his nostrils. We lie. We say this. We say that. So repent and ask for forgiveness and then go to God. I'm telling you, you got to do that. Because it don't count no other way. Some of them priests, they went in there and they wasn't clean. doing is sneaking around and God watching them anyway. Then when they step behind that veil, they come out dead. And they always have a rope tied around. You know better, honey. God don't, he didn't play then, and God don't play now. I don't know where we get. Shoot. He used to wink at man's ignorance. God ain't doing that no more. We got this word. We got the word. He done sent millions of messengers, teachers, and preachers to teach us these things. And we still doing the same mess. We still, and giving Satan an upper hand, he's still using the same trick he was using back there in the days of Moses and Noah. He's still using the same tactics. And we still falling for the same game. Yes, we are. And I tell you, you can't go. But that's why people's prayers don't get answered. They go before God dirty. I ain't going before God dirty. No kind of way. I'm going to repent and repent and repent. I don't care if they say, well, she's sin or she's not. I don't care what they say, because when I repent, God throws it. He puts it in the sea of forgiveness, and I'm clean from head to toe, and I can go before the Lord and pray and get my prayers answered. But when you can't repent before God, something wrong with you. Something wrong with you, because he say in the word of God, we all sin. And if you say you don't sin, you are a liar, and the truth ain't in you. This is what the word of God says. If some people think you, I ain't sinning, and I ain't doing this, yes, you are. I ain't doing this, yes, you are. You doing something, because God said we sin. We might think wrong. We might look wrong. Might look at somebody wrong. Might have a wrong thought. We all sin. We sinners saved by grace. That's the only way we can be saved, by faith and grace. Mm-hmm. We got to and see. The Philistines, they were still worshiping them idol gods. They were still worshiping the ones that God threw down and broke the head and the neck and the hands off of. He said, you're going to bow one way or the other. But they wasn't getting it, just like we don't get it right now. He have to let all these things that's getting ready to happen, happen. All of that drought out there in California burning our fruit up out there that we have every year. No rain, no water, nowhere out there. Shoot. No, we it's a lot of things that's finna come. But I'm telling y'all, we got to be humble ourselves and go before God and repent every time. Because what you saying to God don't mean nothing until you get clean before God. He don't want to see have no sin is stenched to his nostril. If you can't repent of your sins, you can't. What you talking about don't even hit him no kind of way. Don't touch him. And it's not traditional either. That's not traditional to repent. It's a necessity. You don't have an option. You have to repent daily. I do. Ain't no option with that. It don't come with an option. We have to repent. And the Philistines, they weren't trying to repent, but when he got through making trouble for him, they were trying to throw him back. They didn't want him no more. They wanted some idol gods. But God wasn't letting it go that easy. He didn't let it go that easy. He slaughtered a whole lot of them. And they're going to tell me, God don't kill. God don't. God allow the ground to open up and swallow you up. You don't play with a living God. I'm telling you. And he knows everything, so we can't fool him. Not one bit. Not one second. He know the thoughts that we have before they come out of our mouth, before they come to our brain, our mind. He know what we gonna do. So he was just waiting on them to do something. He had already knew what he was going to do. He made trouble for them. They got whooped. Israel whooped them. And then God slaughtered so many of them. And then God gave Israel all of their land back that they had taken. As you know, over in Joshua, he had gave them the land of Canaan, but they had to possess it. And a lot of them got some, like Gad and Manasseh and them. They didn't even go over there where the rest of them was. They stayed on the east side of the Jordan. And they were, I think they had pig farms, swine farms, those pig farms. They were raising and growing and with their wives and families. So they had took some of that land and all that kind of stuff. The Philistines, because they was more and they was trained how to fight. It was a lot of people can whoop them back then. A lot of orange, like the military can whoop them because they trained their men hard. But when you got God, it don't even matter. It don't matter. You can be a little weakling when you got God. Because his strength is made perfect in our weakness. His strength. So we don't have to worry about it. He more than the world against us. God is. So that's why they figured if they took that ark on the battlefield with them, that God would move. But God, they weren't supposed to have God, that ark out there. He didn't do nothing. He let them got slaughtered. Mm-hmm. And that's when we don't obey God, when we don't do what he tell us to do, things like that happen. I'm telling you, things like that happen. It's something. Now, all of that happened because they was disobedient. We disobedient every day and don't want to repent. Don't want to repent. He was allowing them to die, get killed, get slaughtered back then. He's not doing us like that. All we got to do is repent. Any comments? Any questions? I know y'all just because it's exciting to me. It's, you know, I'm just really excited about this word because we need to hear it and we need to know this word. Because it's going to be some times we're going to need to go back and remember this word to be on the tables or tablets of our heart or tables of our heart. We need to know this word. We need to know a word when somebody asks us something. We need to have a word to give them. When you don't, it's not good. But we need to know it. And that's why we study this word like we do. Mhm. Okay. Yeah, some of those men looked inside the ark, and God killed 70 of them. And God, you know, the people were sad about it, because God punished so many of those men, but they shouldn't have never looked in that ark. If you touch it, it's bad when you touch it. It's not good when you touch it, honey. But when the Philistines were trying to figure out was God the one doing that? I don't know how they thought they was gonna pull one over on God. Now I guess they didn't believe in him, but they had the cause to pull the cord straight back to Israel. So the Philistines knew that God had punished them, and so the ark went back to Israel. And the Philistines, they did know that God had punished them, and the cows made a loud noise all the way because they wanted the return to be known. So the cows that had not pulled a cart before can not pull it straight. So God made them go straight to Israel. And the Philistine ruler followed the court. And they saw that it went straight to Beth Shemesh. That's in Israel. The ark and their gifts to God arrived in Israel. And the Philistine rulers watched the Israelites give that sacrifice. Then they went back to give this news to the Philistines. Mm-hmm. Had to be convinced God was doing, he was in control anyway. He was in control. He was still in control, and he's still in control today. And I keep bringing it back to now because there's so many things that's going on right now. But we have to realize that God is still, if he can use a cow, if he can use a donkey, don't you know God ain't going to leave us hanging? He's going to show us what to do. And all these things that's going to take place, God going to be, honey, he's going to be a shield to us. He's going to let us know just what to do and how to do it. And time is all belongs to God. All the time, every piece of time belongs to God. Belongs to God. So we got to know what's going on. Don't say, well, I want to hear that. I ain't want to talk about that. You just need to know what you need to know. But you always know that God is with you. God is in control all the time. And he's not letting none slip up on us. He's not going to let it slip up on us. I'm just telling you, that evil man over there in Russia got, what, stage 4 cancer? But killing everybody that move over there in Ukraine, the enemy. You know, it's sad. Don't know how long he got to live, but he's going to kill everybody before he go. They need to take him out of control because he got stage 4 cancer, dying. Being mean, but we still need to pray for him. We still got to pray for him. Any statements? Any concerns? Any? Do you all understand what it's talking about? What it's talking about? I get excited.
I have a comment.
Okay.
I just want to say, thinking of the Ark of the Covenant and looking upon it is the same like when God told Moses, say, when I turn, you can look at the back of me, because if you look upon my face, you won't live.
Right.
Just how powerful the Ark of the Covenant is. That's why they couldn't touch it. And when they went in and tried to go in, it says, when I was studying about it, it said they shot them back out of there. They fell dead, they just fell back up out of there because it was so powerful. And that's the same way God was telling Moses.
Yeah. Yep, he said. But see, that God was right there sitting on the ark, because he met them between the cherubim on the ark. That's where he was. That's why you couldn't touch it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you couldn't touch it. You know, you can go into the temple in the tabernacle behind the veil. Those priests, like I was saying, when they went in there dirty, sin all over, they dropped dead. They would drop dead. They couldn't go in there any kind of way.
They go in with veils on.
Yeah, that's right. And honey, let me tell you something. If you think you're going before God and pray and don't repent, Your prayers go hit the ceiling and fall right back down, because God didn't turn his head from that stench. Sin is stench to God's nostrils. He don't want to hear that. And when we can't repent, honey, no. I would have been so scared as a priest trying to go up in there where God was, honey. You couldn't have melted me and poured me in there. And I know I got sin on me. Just not because he's not going to answer it, because you're going to drop dead. If you touch that ark, period, if you don't have sin on you. But when you got sin on you, you better repent. Honey, I make sure, and believe me, God answered every one of my prayers. I'm telling you, I have the anointing all over me. I feel it all the time, just like I'm talking right now. I can feel his presence, that heat on me like a furnace. Because I repent. I try to stay in the order of God, stay in alignment with God. Even though we sin every day, we can repent every day. I repent as many times as I can every day. Lord, forgive me. Because you leave home, you don't know if you're coming back. you better repent. Mm-hmm. And mean it. Mm-hmm. It's simple. Just be obedient to this word. We learning together about this word, and we know it's true because it come out the word of God. Mm-hmm. And he been just like he told that the rich man over in hell, and he was telling him, just let me tell my son, whoever it was. He said, no. He said, we didn't send people, messengers. He sent you, no more.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't sending nobody. I ain't letting you send nobody. Mm-hmm. I sent the preacher, the teacher, the pastor, the rabbi, the missionary, the apostle, the prophet, bishop, and you still don't believe. He said, I ain't letting you send nobody else. Mm-hmm. So that this is it. We got to know what to do. An apostle was telling me the other day that I prayed for rain, and rain came yesterday, rain all night.
Yes. Yes. Y'all remember she prayed for rain yesterday. She said it was a drought. Did it not rain all night last night and all day? God answers her prayer. Glory to God.
Yes, he does. I thank God for it, too. I really do. It ain't nothing up. It ain't about me, but it's about God. And whether people believe, that's on them. I don't have nothing but God. That's all I have, the anointing of God on my life. And I just try to be obedient to his word. And, you know, I just try to do what he would have me to do. I'm here to please him. Mm-hmm. That's who we're here to please, is God. We are his pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
He loved us so much, he gave his only son for us. And I appreciate it. I love God for it. So if there is any more questions or comments, I'm going to get ready to close out. But on Thursday, you know, you guys know Thursday is not Bible class. Mm-hmm. It's not Bible class this Thursday. But next, the following Tuesday, we're gonna have Bible class, and then that next week's Thursday we'll have three chapters. Next Thursday we have three chapters, but it's no class this week. I just want to let you know the people, new people, know and everything about it, because there's a lot of people asking about our Bible classes. Mm-hmm. They want to know and they want to connect with them. So and I thank and praise God for that. So we're gonna get ready to close out. By the grace of God, I'll be here at 6 o'clock Central, 7 o'clock Eastern time for our morning wake-up call in the morning, and be looking forward to it. Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, we just thank you for your word on tonight. We thank you, God, for opening up our understanding. We thank you for teaching us, God. We thank you for your word on tonight, God. In the mighty name of Jesus, I ask you to bless everyone under the sound of my voice and keep they and their families covered in the blood of Jesus. Cover their homes and their vehicles right now, God. In the mighty name of Jesus. And we just give you honor. We give you praise. We just thank you, Father, for all that you do for us, Lord, for all that you're going to do. Now, Lord, we ask and thank you for being in control. Thank you, God. We ask all these things in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen, amen. We just give God glory. We're getting ready to get off, and we will be back, like I said, in the first thing in the morning. We'll be on our live broadcast on Facebook. God bless you all. I love you. You all have a good night.
God bless.
Love you. Good night.
God bless. Love you, too. Good night.
Love you all.
Love you. Good night.